Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for all that has transpired. We thank you for the word. Through the worship, Lord, in which we have experienced, you've spoken to us, Lord. Even as we have reached our hands towards heaven, Lord, you have spoken to us, Lord. And you've been a witness unto us. We're thankful and we're grateful. Now, we ask, Father, that you will anoint our ears to hear what thus saith the Spirit of the living God. And we're careful to give you the praise, honor, and glory for all that will come forth. That is in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let everyone say amen and amen. Hallelujah. Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. When you get to chapter 1, please look with me at the 12th verse. If you need a Bible, slip your hand up. One of these brothers will bring a Bible to you to make sure, hallelujah, to make sure that we can walk through this together and that which the Lord would speak unto us this morning. Just want to say good morning to everyone. It's glad to see you. I tell you what, we called off service last Sunday anticipating that the weather was going to be what the weatherman said. Hallelujah. But glory to be God. It's better to be safe, you know, than it is to have someone to, you know, get into an accident or whatever would have taken place. I tell you, Pastor Angela and I, because we didn't have church, did not mean that we didn't have church. Amen. Me and Pastor Angela, boy, we opened up that book of Acts, and we read the book of Acts, and I'm telling you, heaven came into the earth. You hear what I'm saying? The supernatural invaded the natural. You hear what I'm saying, man? I'm telling you, we were just beginning to talk and beginning to read the Word of God, and I would challenge anyone, particularly if you're married couples or if you're a lady that have a female friend that y'all are sisters in the Lord, amen, read the word with someone, I'm telling you, and see what it'll do. I'm telling you, man, the Bible says the word of God is alive, amen. You cannot read the word of God and it does not do anything unto you, amen. I'm telling you, man, we were reading that word, I'm telling you, the whole house changed. I mean, it shifted right there where we were at. And we got so hungry with it, we come back the next day. Sister, you got some time for us to sit down and read this word? Hallelujah. So we had a wonderful time in that particular day. Amen. In the days that were after that, every time we open up the word of God together, it's always a fruitful time. And I want to echo something that Pastor Angela said. I thank God for her putting up with me for 24 years. Amen. Tomorrow we celebrate 24 years of marriage. Amen. Hallelujah. I like to say she is the queen of my dreams. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, I know what heaven is already going to be like because I'm living with an angel. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Amen. I thank God for Pastor Angela. I salute her. She has been so sacrificial in our marriage. Just so sacrificial and always giving. And I thank God. I salute you. Amen. She is truly an example of what it means to be a sacrifice, amen. And God he's honoring her. He's going to continue to honor you and bless you, amen, and bless us as the years go forward. Hallelujah. You're in the book of James, chapter 1, hallelujah, verse 12. If you will go to verse 12, we're going to read verses 12 through verse 17 this morning, and then we'll go from there. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You hear that? He says, the Lord hath promised that to them that what? Love him. He says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust have conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Verse 17 is where we want to hone in on. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and come down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You hear that? it says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. I want to talk today from the subject of gifts from above. Gifts from above. And I want to specifically talk about the gift of God. Amen. Gifts from above, the gift of God. As we've been talking about faith in the house, and I believe anything that when we share the word of God, we're dealing with faith. But today I want to, as Pastor Angela said earlier, that we are now in the advent of the Christmas season, where we, as Christians, we celebrate the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know that history tells us that we don't know the exact day in which he was born. However, since there's Christmas and the giving of toys, we align ourselves as a Christian body to say, look, Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to let you know, amen, we know that we're going to be out shopping and getting gifts, but you remember who the real gift is. Amen. And this is why, as the man of God of this house, that I'm going to bring us into remembrance of the gifts that come from above. Because I thank God for the gifts that might be passed around through Christmas, but it's the gifts from above, amen, that's going to keep us. Y'all need to hear this. It's the gifts that are from above. We see James here, the oldest half-brother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, speaking and declaring this epistle unto the church. And we're going to look at some things here. I started in verse 12 because 12 ties in, and above that ties into verse 17 as well. And we're going to look at this as we move forward today, talking about the gift of God. And we're talking about, again, gifts from above, the gift of God. So we see here, look at verse 12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation here. And we understand that temptation does not come from God. And it tells us in verse 13, it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So any temptation that we experience, and when he's saying man, he's talking about mankind, men and women. So I just say, y'all sisters, don't be looking at us again. I know this man got problems with temptation. No, we all can be tempted. Every one of us can be tempted here. But the Bible teaches us that temptation does not come from God. God does not tempt us. Amen. Now, God would allow us to go through temptation. This is why in the Lord's Prayer, when we pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Then we say, and lead us. We talk about the forgiveness of sins. You know, forgive us as we forgive that. Then we say, and lead us not into temptation, but what? Deliver us into evil. Now, you remember when in the book of Luke, the Bible says Jesus Christ was baptized. And after he got baptized, he come up out of the water. The Bible says it was the Spirit of God that led him into the wilderness to be tempted of who? The devil. So we understand where temptation comes from. Temptation does not come from God, but temptation comes from the devil. Somebody say, temptation comes from the devil. That's already settled. That he's tempting you. He's tempting you into doing something that you should not be doing. And this is why I'm saying it's already settled. You got to know it's settled that temptation comes from the devil. It comes from the enemy here. But he says, blessed is the man that endureth. That means that can bear it, that can stand up under, that can suffer it, that can persevere temptation. And we know the temptation, I'm talking about temptation, is the tap. Temptation is, I like to call temptation, trials, afflictions, and persecution. It's a tribulation, three times the trouble. You hear what I'm saying? Trials, afflictions, and persecution. The Bible says all those that live godly shall suffer persecution. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, be a good cheer though. For I have overcome the world. Amen. So if he overcame, guess what? We can overcome. But the way we overcome is through him. Somebody say through him. That's how we come up, that's how we overcome. But it says, blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, so it says he's going to be tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that what? Love him. So those that will persevere, those that will overcome, will be those that will, amen, receive the crown of life. And that crown is going to come from him. Look at verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with what? With evil. Neither tempted he any man. That goes right down. Now look at verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. So temptation will present itself. Temptation will show up. You will be tempted. Every one of us will be tempted in life. But see, it's the temptation, he says, you to persevere, that to stay away from. But when the temptation presents itself, see, but it's you. It's the lust. It's the enticements, the pleasures that's on the inside of us that will draw us into the temptation. Somebody say snare. Trap. Noemas. It's a plot, pro, and plan of the devil. The noemas of Satan's are the plot, ploy, and plan. It's a snare, and the enemy will lay that out to pull you in. But see, the temptation that he gives is that which he knows you can be tempted with. Amen? See, he'll lay it out just what you like. Just what the doctor ordered. He'll lay it out, and look what it says here. It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his what? Own lust. See, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust or his own desires. I like to call them your own ungodly desires. My own ungodly desires is what draws me away. I'm drawn away. So temptation is out there, but what draws me away is within me. So it's my own desires, my own ungodly desires. Look what it says. It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and what? Say, enticed. Look at verse 15. Then it says, so when I'm drunk, look, this is how the enemy do it. He sets it up and then he draws you away. You know, I always talk to y'all about being backslidden. This is the danger of being backslidden. When you backslidden means that I'm away from God. And so because the Bible says God will never leave us nor forsake us. He not going to leave us. He said, I'm going to be God. I'm going to always love you. But we can slide back. And when we slide back, we're backslidden and we're away from God. See, this is now we have been drawn away from God through our own lust. And now temptation is waiting on us over here. Oh, my God. See, we're drawn away from God with our own lust, with our own enjoyment, our own things. And then when we get over here, we're drawn away by our own lust. Then we get over here near temptation. Then we're enticed. Then we're enticed to do something. And now that we're away from God, guess what? A little dab will do me. A little dab will do me. But that dab you take, we get ready to see the process of sin right here. What sin will do to you when we are drawn away of our own lust and then enticed. Oh, somebody said, it's going to get better. I know we're starting off kind of in the gutter, but it's going to get better. Amen. We're coming up out of it, George. We're coming up out of it. He says, verse 15, then lust have conceived. Now see what it says. Then when lust have conceived, this thing now is just taking birth. It bringeth forth what? Sin. So you can see how we're drawn away through our own lust. Then we are enticed. And then this lust or this godly enticement, when it conceiveth, it bringeth forth sin. You hear that? Oh my God. See, what it's saying is when lust and temptation get together, sin is going to happen. Yeah. When lust and temptation get together, sin is getting ready to happen. It says it brings forth sin. Then look what it says, and sin when it is finished. Oh, my God. See, so when you start sin, there is a cycle of sin. You just can't sin and get out of sin. Now, when you get into sin, I'm telling you, sin runs its course. There's a course. And see, this is what we must understand, that Jesus Christ tells us this in the Word of God. He says, if we have sin, he says, we can confess our sin unto him. Amen to the Father. If we confess our sins, he's what? Faithful and just to do what? Forgive us of our sins. Amen. And do what? Cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. See, what I've come to learn and understand, I need a cleaning every day. I'm telling you, man, because we're always being tempted. Amen. We're always being tempted, and we must learn the process of recess. We must learn how to come before God and confess our sins before God. God, and I tell God, not only do I confess my sins, but I also establish his word in my life. Father, I cut covenant with my eyes that I would not look strangely upon another woman. Father, I thank you that I'm ravished with the love of my wife. I'm enticed with her love. Amen. I declare those types of things. I thank you, Father, that I'm standing on top with all things under my feet. I must confess and declare these things. Somebody say daily. Daily. See, sin has a course, and when it runs its course, it ends, somebody say, in death. It ends in death. It ends in death. Look what it says here. It says again, it says, verse 15, then when lust have conceived, it bring forth sin, and sin is missing the mark. Somebody say miss the mark. And our goal as Christians is to hit the mark. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high. We've been teaching that. I press towards the mark. And my goal is to please God. When I sin, I miss the mark. I'm no longer pleasing God. I want to please God. And when I'm living by faith, I please God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. See, when I'm in faith, when I'm not in faith, I'm in fear. And when I'm in fear, doubt, fear, and unbelief are all in the neighborhood. And when I'm there, you better believe that, see, I can be enticed. Amen. I can be sucked into something else because my faith is no longer in him. I'm no longer wanting to please God. And so we must keep our eyes upon him and watch out that we're not drawn away of our own lust, enticed and ensnared with that particular thing. Because when sin come forth, sin will run its course, and the wages of sin is what? Death. Now let's go look at that real quick. Hold your place here. Go with me, please, over to the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 23, because I want you to see this here, and we're going to come back. We're just going to go over to Romans chapter 6. We're talking about the gifts from above, a gift of God. Romans chapter 6, just turn back to your left. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 here. Romans 6, verse 23. When you get there, please say amen. Now, we see here that when sin runs its course, it runs to death. And that's a spiritual death that we're talking about here. We're deadened to the things of God when we begin to allow sin to take over our lives, when we become what I call habitual sin, amen, where we practice sin, amen, where we're doing sin on a regular basis. And you cannot play around with sin. Because it forms into a habit and it becomes a practice for us and it leads to death. Now look here what it says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23 here. It says, for the wages, somebody say, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through what? Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now it's interesting here because we're talking about gifts from above and the gift of God. It says, for the wages of sin is death. So the enemy, he wants to tempt us because he wants us to sin, because he knows that the wages of our sin is death. But the Bible says, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. So God wants us to have eternal life, where the enemy wants you to have eternal death. And so we must understand that when we are sinners, the Bible says, for all have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. For we all have sinned. We all, before we came to Christ, we were all sinners. Amen. And sinners sin. Amen. But now that we have come to Christ, we're saints. Somebody say saints. I'm a saint now. Amen. I'm not who I used to be. Old things have passed away, and what? Behold, all things have become new. Eric, who? I don't know who you talking about. That used to be him. I'm a new creature in Christ. I mean, A-double-A, all things are new. Amen. So what we're saying here is that this sin would take us on a course that would lead to death. Because the word says here, for the wages of sin is death, but what? The gift of God is what? Eternal life. Now, we're going to go back over to the text because we're going to find out that every good and perfect gift, say, comes from above. Oh, my God. Every good and perfect gift come from where? Not from up under the tree, but from where? Oh, my God. Every good and perfect gift, Brother George, comes from above. So don't be worried about the how many gifts you got up under the tree. Amen. You need to be talking about the one that died on the tree. Oh, my God. His name is Jesus. Amen. He's the one that gave his life for us. And this is who we should celebrate, not just through the Christmas season, but all year long. Amen. Because he is the gift that comes from above. He is the gift of God that comes from above him. But Romans 6 and 23 says, for the wages of sin, I like to say, you get paid for sinning. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ, what? Our Lord. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We've been talking about lordship this year, but Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is how we gain eternal life, is through him. The devil wants us to be selfish, self-centered. He wants us to be focused on ourselves. When we do that, this is when we get enticed with our own desires, our own lust, our own ungodly desires in our life. This is what leads us away from God versus trusting in God. We begin to trust in ourselves, and I want this, God, I want that. And then the devil's waiting over there for temptation. Amen. He's ready to entice you. And then when that sin has been conceived, when lust and temptation kiss one another, my God, this thing is on now. The fire is on. The flame has started. And then it leads us down a road, a course of sin that leads us to ultimate death, eternal death. Hallelujah. But God said he wants us to have eternal life. Amen. We're talking about the gift which is from above, the gift of God. Turn back with me then to the scriptures, to our text in James chapter 1. And let's now look at verse 15 again. It says, then when lust have conceived, it bring forth sin. And when sin, when it is finished, it bring forth death. See, when it's finished, because it runs that course. For the wages of sin are death. But the gift, somebody said, the gift of God is eternal life. Now look what he says in verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. What he's saying is, don't roam. Don't go astray. Don't wander. From what? From the word of God. He said, don't err, my brother. James is writing them. James said, now don't err, my brother, because temptation comes from the enemy. It comes from, you know that God is not is tempted with evil, neither will he tempt you with evil. He said, but that temptation comes straight from the enemy. But he will allow us to be tempted. He would allow us to go through these trials so that we can receive. The Bible says, look, when the enemy comes in like a flood, he does what? Make a way of escape. Oh, my God. What I'm saying is he'll never let you go through something that you can't come out of. Amen. See, the key to it is you can't come out in and of your own self. Amen. The wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life. What? Through Jesus Christ. Oh, how do I get through? Through him. That's how I get through. That's how I get through that season of temptation. I get through him. I come closer to him. See, that's how the enemy gets us. If he can get us away from him, if he can get you away from the Lord thy God Almighty, if he can get you away from Jesus, amen, if he can get you away from the wooing of the Holy Spirit, he got you. He just wants you to get, and see, and it's not that he pulls you. No, it's through our own lust, amen, that we're drawn away. We're drawn away, amen, from that thing. And so we got to be careful, and we must understand that we got to stay at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must have a life that's called being a disciple, a follower, a learner, a pupil of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because it's through him that we receive eternal life. And every good and perfect gift comes from above here. Let's look at this. So we see in verse 17 here, I want you to see something, because 17 is going to deal, I like the way James does this, because James is going to come back in 17 and show you how the gift works the same way sin works. He's going to show you the opposite of him. He says, now sin happens, sin begins, but it just don't happen one time. Once it happens, it takes its course. And the end of it is death. But he says, but every good and perfect gift come from God. That first gift is the endowment of the gift. Amen. But first, when you get the gift got to run its course in your life. See, it moves from good to becoming what? A perfected gift. Y'all need to hear this thing. I tell you, just like sin run, the gift of God runs in your life. He said he gives every good and what? Every perfect gift. And if you study that out in your time, in your own time frame, that you'll see that he's dealing with the good gift and the perfect gift. The good gift, as I was studying this piece out here, again, it deals with an endowment. It deals with an endowment. And then the perfect gift deals with a bestowment. You know, one thing when you endow something that you receive, amen, it's a gift from God. He says, look at verse 17. Every good gift, somebody say every good gift, and every perfect gift is from above. Now, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. Now, check this out. Do you remember when Jesus, see, bad people can do good things. You hear that? See, it depends on where they're in that sin process. See, when you get so far over here, you're no longer doing good for nobody, to include yourself. You know what I'm saying? But good people, I mean, bad people can't do good things. Because this is how Jesus said. Jesus Christ said, now, if an evil man know how to give good gifts unto his own child, how much more will the Heavenly Father give unto those that what? Ask him. So how do I get my gift that comes from hell? How do I get my good and perfect gift? I got to what? I got to ask him. Amen. I got to ask him. Let's bring this to light here. We're not going to go over there. We're just going to do it. The Holy Ghost, have your way. Over in the book of John, you remember when the woman came to the well and was inquiring of Jesus Christ about some water and talking about some water? And Jesus Christ said, if you would know that I am what? The gift of God. Oh, my God. Yes, sir. You would have asked me to give you something to drink, and I would have gave you some what? Living water. Hey, my God. You know what I'm saying? See, the good and perfect gifts. So every good and perfect gift comes from what? From above. Now check this out. Now, one of the good and perfect gifts, and I'm going with it. I got some other stuff up here, but but I'm thinking about wisdom, because we're in the book of James, and we know earlier in the book of James he talks about wisdom. He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him do what? Now you must understand wisdom, there's two types of wisdom. There's earthly wisdom, and the Bible tells us that earthly wisdom is sensual and even devilish. That's wisdom that comes from this earth. But then the Bible says, but there's wisdom that comes from God, that comes from above. It's first pure, it's peaceable, it's easily to be received and entreated. Yeah, that's what the Bible says about it. That's right there in the book of James. Y'all, somebody looking at me funny. Let's look over here. Look. Turn over to James chapter. Somebody say, come on, Pastor, don't be pulling us like this. Go over to James chapter 3. First of all, hold your place. Look at James chapter 1. And look what he says in verse 5, James 1 and 5. Are you there? It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of who? God, that giveth to all men what? Liberally. He lays it on you. And I like this word wisdom. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, that word wisdom is Sophia. Amen. It's the word Sophia, Greek word Sophia. He said, now, if any of you lack Sophia, amen, he talking about some, but it deals with wisdom that is higher or lower, amen, a natural versus supernatural. And what we want the wisdom of God, amen. See, that's one of the gifts that comes from above. Somebody say wisdom. See, then when the Holy Spirit get in there in our lives, we get what we call a word of wisdom. Oh, my God. I'm just messing with you a little bit here. This ain't even in the notes. Amen. But it looks here, verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give it to all men liberally. I mean, he don't hold it back. And he upbraided them not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask how? How? We've been teaching about faith, amen, for the last several weeks. But this faith, man, without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you're going to get anything from God, it's going to come by how? Faith. I taught this house, and I will continue to teach it. Faith picks up what grace gives unto you. It's freely given unto us, but we got to pick it up by our faith. Our faith is our trust, our belief, and confidence in God. If God said he's going to do it, amen, it's going to happen, amen. And so I pick up what belongs to me, what God gives. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, and it's given through the grace of God, but my faith picks it up. Amen. So he said, now, if you're going to ask, let him ask how? In faith. And then look what he says here. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He said, not wavering, for he that waver is like a wave of the sea, driven with what? The wind and tossed. For let not that man think he what? Shall receive anything of the Lord. What it says about him. A double-minded man is what? Unstable in all of his ways. Now turn over to James chapter 3, since we're in the neighborhood. James chapter 3, verse 13. When you get there, say amen. Amen. We're talking about the gift from above, the gift of God. And one of those gifts from above is wisdom. And we all need wisdom. Matter of fact, this is how the Bible says it over in Isaiah. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was the root of the stem of Jesse. And it talks about how the spirit of wisdom was upon him and understanding. You hear what I'm saying? That's one of my prayers, that the spirit of wisdom and understanding will be upon me. See, the wisdom that God's given me, and then I need understanding of the wisdom. But it goes, it says the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might. Amen? See, now God gonna give me some counsel, and I got to have some might to carry it out. You hear what I'm saying? And then he says the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. All of that was up on Jesus. And if it's up on Jesus, guess what? He wanted to be up on us. Oh, man, well, can you see yourself walking in the spirit of wisdom and understanding, walking in the spirit of counsel and might, walking in the knowledge and the fear of the Lord? And it says, man, look, it said Jesus didn't think like the world thought. He did things quickly and speedily because the spirit of the Lord was up on him. I'm talking about gifts that come from above. The gift of God, amen. The gift of God is eternal life. But I'm telling you, boy, it's so much that comes with this. I started to take this thing from the approach of all the gifts that God gives. I was going to go down that road. I said, but it'll take me all year to teach that. Because we know that God gives gifts. We know that God, we know in Romans, and we were in Romans where he deals to every man what the measure of faith. It says for us not to think more highly than we ought to, but to think soberly, because he dealt to every man the same measure of faith. So we all got, you got the same measure of faith that the preacher got. Oh, my God. You need to hear this thing. We all got the same measure of faith. So, Reuben, you can do it because I'm doing it. Yeah. And I can do it, and you can do it because he did it. Yeah, you hear what I'm saying? We can all do it because he dealt to all of us the same measure of what? Faith. The same measure of faith. So the same confidence and strength that he has given me, he has given to all of us. He's given to all of us so that we can pick up everything that he freely gives unto us. And salvation, his son Jesus Christ was a free gift of God. He said, but you've got to pick it up, son. And your faith is what picks it up. But the Bible tells us in Romans, and I'm certainly not going to dwell here. In Romans chapter 3, we understand, we're talking about gifts from above. And we know that Romans chapter 12, around about verse 6 or 8 there, it talks about the different gifts. And these gifts come from God. They're called grace gifts. They're motivational gifts. These are, when you come out of your mother's womb, you are already gifted. Amen? From gift that come from above. So we're here trying to get retrained. We going to school to get retrained when God said, I already put it in you. I mean, there's already planted in you. When you come out of your mother's womb, you had everything that I needed you to have to fulfill the promises that I had for your life. Can I get an amen? See, so that puts everybody on even ground. If I ain't got enough money to get no education, so what? God gave me what I needed when I come out of my womb. Oh, my God. So when some of y'all are in debt, I'm doing my thing. Some other folks going to be doing their thing. You're going to be, I'm telling you, God has given us these gifts. It talks about the gift of teaching. The gift of a giver. Amen. The gift of mercy. These many different gifts, the gifts of prophecy. All of these are gifts that was given. It's a foundational, motivational gift. It's a grace gift. God gave these gifts unto every one of us. Every one of you are gifted. Somebody say, I'm gifted. And I don't even know it. some of us don't even know that we're gifted. Well, God has gifted you. And that's the key thing, is being able to tap into my gifting. The gift that God is, I ain't talking about what somebody gave me, but what God has given me. And then when you understand what your gift is, wherever God places you, you can work your gift wherever it's at. Wherever you're working in, wherever you are. I'm not saying now get your gift and sit at home talking about I ain't going to go to work. Nah, you ain't going to eat. Nah, you better go do what you do. But I'm saying wherever you're at, God will work your gift, and your gift will give you favor right up in there where you're at. Oh, my God. Can I get an amen? So we need to know what our gifts are. And so the Bible says that he gives these gifts over in Romans chapter 12. These are all gifts that come from above, George. He says every good and what? Perfect gift. See, when you get the gift, it's good. But then it gets perfected in your life. You know what I'm saying? He works just like sin works in your life. When you get into sin, the Bible says it's only good for a season. Amen. But this thing, it ain't even good then. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying, in a season, it's going to run its course. You may think that it's good, but that thing going to run its course. It's going to run its course. And in the end, you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die to the things of God. But we come alive. We want to come alive to him. So he gives us these gifts. He gives us these gifts over in Rome. These are gifts that come from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. From who? The Father of lights. Oh, my God. John said there is no darkness in him. My God. They said there is no variableness or no shadow of turning. There is no change. He's the God. He's the same God yesterday, today, and what? Forevermore. Your boss may change. Your pastor may even change. But God never going to change. You know what I'm saying? He's going to be the same. Your husband might change. Your wife might change. And if they're changing, hopefully they're changing into the glory of God. From faith to faith. From glory to glory. We're all changing. But he don't need to change. He already God. Amen. And so we're becoming more like him. This is what we're doing in our lives. We're becoming more like him. So we see these gifts that are given by God, of the gifts that are given. But then there's a second set of gifts that I've taught in this house. Amen. Those first set of gifts is what I call free to be me. I taught it. I need to package that thing up, get that thing out. Free to be me. Free to be who God called me to be. I need to know who God destined me to be. How did he shape me, form me, and fashion me, amen, in his likeness and his image. I want to be who God called me to be. But the second set of gifts that we find out were the gifts that the Bible says that when Jesus Christ ascended, he gave gifts unto men. Amen. But the Bible goes on to say that he gave some gifts. Amen. He gave the pastor. Amen. We look at it here. You know, I like to teach it like this with the hand. He gives the apostle. That's the thumb. Say the apostle. The apostle is the only one that can touch every other gift. This is the apostle. The apostle governs. Somebody say govern. And then he gives the prophet. The prophet points. Amen. The prophet, they do a lot of guiding us, you know, through the prophetic word, the prophetic ministry. Amen. See, you need the fivefold ministry in your life. You hear what I'm saying? So that you can grow up in the full stature, the full measure, and the full stature of him. See, so we can be what? Completed. Amen. Not only the good, but the perfect gift. The good and what? Perfect gift. Come from what? Come from above. So you get the initial endowment of it. Amen. And then God works that thing out in your life. It's the opposite of how sin works. God get the gift in you, and then he wants to work it through you. Amen. So that you can perfected and you can mature. He mature that gift on the inside of you, but you need some help. And it's called the fivefold ministry gift. It's called the apostle, the prophet, and then this finger that sticks out the father. Somebody say the evangelist. The evangelist is the person that can gather them. Some of you may be evangelists here. You know how to gather people. I know some folks, and see what you got to understand. Even people that are not saved got this gift on them. You hear what I'm saying? What I'm saying? See, the God gifted everyone that come out of the womb. You hear what I'm saying? Because they're all God's children, irregardless if they're not living for God or not. I done seen many folks. I was looking up and said, "Man, you got that gift of evangelist up on," and they ain't got a clue. They have the ability to draw people. They have the ability to get people, man. They can do, man, and they can do it. I sit back and just shake my head at how some people can do that. They have the ability to connect and draw people to them. That's the gift of the evangelist. But everybody don't have that gift. They're gifted in that particular way. But see, but here go the good thing about it. This is why none of us can stand on an island by ourselves, because the evangelist can gather them, but they don't know how to guard them. What I'm saying, they can't do the pastor's job. Oh, my God. So the pastor guards the flock. Amen. So that's the other one. This thing here is the pastor. He guards. He guards. And then we got, of course, this little pinky here. And I always say, man, what this pinky got? The pinky is the teacher. It's the teacher. Amen. And the teacher, we know what they're doing. They're teaching us and they're grounding us in the things of God. So I believe the more we become like Jesus, we can have all of them. Because he was a prophet. Amen. He was every one of them. He was a shepherd. Amen. He was the evangelist. He was the prophet. He was every bit of us. So the more we become like Jesus. And so this is what I want to encourage you. Don't limit yourself in who you think you are. See, because the next gift kicks it in overdrive. When you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the manifestation gifts. When you get over there, I'm telling you, and it knocks everything. And then he said, then this is how the Holy Spirit said, Holy Spirit say, I give them severally as I will. Oh my God. He said, look, if you want to be used, I'll use you. If you want to glorify God, I'll work through you. Amen. If you want to be faithful, I'll use you up, said the Holy Ghost. He says, I give you several as you will. And so what he's saying is, so when we begin to flow through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, God said, I'll use you however you will be available for me. I'll flow through you. If I need you to heal, you'll heal. If I need you to give a word of wisdom, give a word of wisdom. If I need you to give a word of knowledge, give a word of knowledge. If I need you to, amen, to have a work in miracles, amen, work some miracles. If I need you to, amen, to have a super abundance of faith, I'll work that through you as well. And what I'm saying to you that as we go through this holiday gift, don't worry about the gift somebody not getting. Don't worry about the gifts that you can't buy anyone. Amen. We're going to have a whole bunch of empty spots up under my tree, but it's okay. Amen. I ain't shaking nothing like that. Amen. Look, I ain't on nobody's timetable to show up and to deliver a gift on a certain time. That's guilt, man. That's almost manipulation. You know what I'm saying? That's almost witchcraft. And if you're going to give them a gift, amen, the gift that we want, amen, is the gift that comes from above. The gift that comes from above. Because he says every good and every perfect gift comes from above. Comes from who? The Father of lights. They compare, James comparing them to the sun. But then James said, but there's no variableness or no shadow of turning. What he said, man, he ain't got no dark places in him. No, he light, man. He's all light. See, you understand this about God. God is light. Somebody say light. He is life and he is love. He every bit of that. I'm telling you, man, he packaged up. He is the package deal. He is my light. He is my life and he is my love. I'm telling you, man, he said, now you got to understand this. There is no variableness in him. He's the same way from age to age. Yeah. I know you might have thought he was like that to grandma. Nah, he's the same way to you. Yeah. Yes, sir. He's from age to age. He never changes. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so we're understanding him that as we're in this season of celebrating, understand that we have gifts that come from above. Every good and every perfect gift comes from above. How do I get my gifts, Pastor? We already answered that. You got to ask for them. You got to ask for them. How do I get saved, Pastor? You just ask. You ask God to come into your heart. Because that's the greatest gift you can get, is the gift of salvation. And it's a free gift. We're about to close here. It's a free gift. I guess I'll preach what I was supposed to preach today, next week. Amen. Hallelujah. we just went with the Holy Ghost, amen, on this. But I want you to see this with me here. Go with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. I want us to see this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. We're not going to allow sin to take grip of us because we understand that temptation does not come from the Father. And we know that sin would lead to death, eternal death. And if we don't watch it, it'll be a physical death too. But it leads to eternal separation from God. I like one of my sayings that I have is, you can't live wrong and die right. You need to hear this. You can't live wrong and die right. You know what I'm saying? I need to hear this thing. Yeah. And you want to live right so you can die right. You don't know when he's coming back. Unless you let me know if you know. What I'm saying is you can't live wrong and then he split the sky and think you're going to get right then. No, you got to be right. And not just be right, you had been right, living right. And somehow somebody sold us a bill of goods that said, well, you know what, Pastor? The grace of God says that, you know, I can do this, and if it's footing for his grace. Yeah, the grace of God is the power and the equipment and the ability of God. So if you're flowing in the grace of God, you should have the ability to do right. But we use grace sometimes to our thing. Well, God is so graceful and merciful unto us. Amen. And it's through God's grace that I'm right with him. And that's a true statement. We are, our righteousness is as a filthy rag. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is you cannot take grace and just live any way you want to live and say, I'm going to be all right when he shows up. That's not how grace works. Amen. See, grace deals with righteousness. Am I right with God? Through the grace of God. And so you must understand there's two sides of the same coin. There's a positional side. Positionally, when I get saved, when I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ came and died and rose again, guess what? I'm going to heaven. Positionally, I'm right with God. That's one side of the coin. But there's another side, because Paul said it this way. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. So what Paul was saying was, there's a performance side of this as well. Oh, my God. Positionally, I'm saved, mother. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But there's a performance side of this thing. I cannot live. If I'm going to expect the very best of God, I got to exercise my faith. If I'm going to receive all of God's good for me, I got to do something. It's like this. I've always taught y'all in the house, through the grace of God, we don't get saved. I mean, we're not saved. We don't do work because to get saved. I work because I am saved. He saved me. And because he saved me through what? Through grace. And because he done that, that's why James said, look, if you show me your works, I'll show you my faith. Faith without works is what? Dead. See, there's a piece of it positionally, and then there's a performance side of it. Just trace the word out. Amen. Trace the word out. Because I want us to, in this season that we're in, to enjoy the gifts that he has given unto us. Let this be your season, perhaps, to pull out one of them gifts, to open up the word of God and say, God, I want my gift. God, I want to know more about the gift that you have given to me. His name is Jesus. Yes, sir. And Jesus gave us gifts. Father, I want to know more about you. Father, I want to know more about your precious Holy Spirit and the gifts that he desired to flow and to work through my life. Let this be the gift, gifts that are from above, gifts that come from God, gifts that come from the Holy Spirit, gift that comes from his son, Jesus Christ. And what I'm saying is we don't become so fascinated with these gifts that we become so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. What I'm saying is he wants to flow through you. He wants you to know who you are. That's the best gift I could get for anybody, for Christmas, and even for myself, to know who I am in Christ. Amen? To know who I am in Christ. We're going to close right here. Brother, if you would come to the keyboard. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 8 is where we're going to close here. 2 and 8. Hallelujah. My Lord, I want to read all of that. Let's read this, 2:1. He says this is the salvation from sin. See, because that's what want to takes us out. That's what's going to lead me into eternal death is sin in my life. And I cannot allow sin to become habitual in my life. It cannot become a habit in my life. And so I must learn how to deal with the sin in my life that I may experience the gift that comes from above. Because the gifts that I will experience if I'm in sin are the gifts that are in this earth. They're sensual, they're devilish, the Bible tells us. The wisdom of this world is sensual, it's devilish. Matter of fact, Paul says this way, I don't come to you in the words of man's wisdom. That's how Paul said it. Paul said, I'm determined to know one thing in you, and that's Christ, and that's him crucified. And that's one thing that I'm determined here in this house is for you to know is Jesus Christ and him crucified in your life, that you're receiving him as your Lord. Look at this 2:1. It says, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You hear that? Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of what? This world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You see this thing? We used to walk according to the course of this world. That's a course. When you sin, you take a course. You take a course. And that course is going to take you to an end. Look at verse 3. It says, among whom also we all had our conversations or our behaviors in time past. And what, you see that? The lust of our what? Flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of what? The mind. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Somebody say, but God. Oh my God. But God, who is rich in what? Mercy. For his great love wherewith he what? Loved us, even when we were dead in what? Sin. See, sin, look, you dead in sin, man. Sin would bring you to a death. It says, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with who? With Christ. He made us alive. When we were dead to our sin, he quickened us alive to with Christ. Look what he says here. And have raised us up, what? Together. And made us, what? Sit together in what? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by what? Grace. There you go. Are ye what? Saved. So it's the grace of God. It wasn't because of what we did, who he was. It didn't have anything to do with what we done. But it has everything to do with who he is. It says, for by grace are ye saved through what? Faith. And that not of what? Yourself. It is what? The what? It is what? We're saved because of what? The good, the gift of God. The good and the perfect gift that comes down from above. And look what it says here. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God have made before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet today as we begin to close. Hallelujah.